And we are thrilled now to be joined by this year's recipient for the PGA of America's Distinguished Service Award, a two-time major championship winner, and, well, he's the dad of one of my good friends. Dave Stockton is joining us. Mr. Stockton, welcome to the show. Thanks for being a part of it.
Come on, John. It's not Mr. It's Dave.
You know, I said in the last hour that I would say Mr. Stockton, and you'd tell me to call you Dave.
There you go.
First of all, congratulations on the award. That is something very special. When did you find out?
I found out about 2.5 months ago. Alan called me from the PGA and explained. He left a message saying he had a great phone call he's looking forward to telling me in person about. And so I called him back, and he told me about it. Of course, my first reaction was, why me? But I'm really excited, especially to be getting the award at Kiowa, which already has enough, you know, memories for me, you know, with the Ryder Cup there.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and I certainly want to talk about the Ryder Cup. It's interesting to me that it's taken them so long to go back to Kiowa. I mean, after the success of the 91 Ryder Cup. I think it's all very fitting, though. It all comes together nicely, doesn't it?
It really does. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I know you are. I actually had Junior on the phone the week of the Masters, and he was telling a great story about you guys fishing for bass during on the par 3 course during the week of the Masters. Do you happen to recall the story he was telling?
Sure. That's when they gave me the last tee time at a threesome behind all the twosomes on Thursday. And there had to be some way to kill about 5 hours to tee off at like 2:30 or 3. And so I got my caddy, which I had to have, and he had to have his jumpsuit on. We went down with a garbage bag. I caught 54 bass in a pretty good-sized snapping turtle that I gave to the caddy. So I was very popular with the caddies. I was so mad that I got the bass pairing, I put it to good use.
Well, Junior loves that story. Now, interesting to me, and you won the PGA Championship twice. Interesting to me about the era that you played in, that you actually only went over to play the British Open a couple of times. Explain to our listeners why that was and how it's different now.
Well, there's a couple of reasons. When I started winning 67 Colonial was my first win. Nicholas Imput hadn't come about really about how important the majors were. Yes, I know Palmer has been successful over there. So when I won the PGA in 70, I'm going, well, I've got to play the rest of them. So I played the British Open in 71 and 72. But to me, it didn't make sense because my kids, you know, were getting the age of 73. David would have been 5. And so he was in school that year, so I didn't see Kathy or the boys that much. I'd be out for a couple of weeks, then come back. And I'm going, there's no way I'm going to go to the British Open, which would cost me either a week before it or a week after it. And unlike Guy Berger or Littler or some of the other guys out of my time, I didn't tend to get better when I took weeks off, and I needed to play. And so I just said, if not, I'd rather have my family travel with me. And so I supported all the Americans. Tournaments, which led to, you know, 2 Milwaukee wins, a Cleveland win, a Quad Cities win. And with my bad back, I was always better in the summertime when it was hot. And it didn't make sense for me to go over and, you know, play the British Open, which you never were quite sure what weather you were going to get. And I couldn't see being gone for the kids for 2 weeks, and I was too cheap to take the entire family over and spend a fortune.
Take us back to that Monday afternoon at Congressional after it had been raining for most of the week in 1976, and particularly the 18th green, the 72nd hole. You've got Raymond Floyd and Don January staring you down, and you had a 15-footer. What did the putt do, and what do you remember about that situation?
Well, I mean, I was comfortable then. I mean, the backstop to that is that I never expected to win the PGA there. In fact, there had to be 20 people who could have shot themselves. I mean, they just, you know, it's a long golf course. You mentioned it had rain. I mean, we went to the White House, though, stayed at the White House on Monday because of President Ford being such a good friend. And started on Sunday, which I thought would be the final round. It was 3 over par the first 5 holes. And the they called it off because of the rain. Not only did they call it off, but they canceled the day, so you had to start over. And I was 200 through the first five holes the next day, so it was five shots away.
Wow.
But by the time I get to the 18th hole, I've got a one shot lead, and I've hit one fairway, which was the 11th hole. I haven't seen a fairway since, so I hit a 3-wood off the tee, and unlike these guys that hit their rocket balls or whatever they use now, they hit them 300 yards. My 3-wood wouldn't go 300, and I got down. I was so proud of myself being in the middle of the fairway and found myself 220, I think, for the hole. And I'm going, there's no way I'm going to try this water. So I hit an iron, I think it was a 4-iron down there, left myself 60 yards, wasted 15 feet. But itself, now the hole, now it got easy. I had an uphill inside right 15-footer that I looked at while my playing partners were putting out. And I was perfectly calm and relaxed. I was in a place I wasn't expecting to be, but I was here, and if somebody's going to give me a putt, I was going to give it a go. And Ronnie still laughs. He says the reason my putting has stayed good for that long a period of time is that if you look at it on the tape, it took me less than 16 seconds to get bent down behind it, put the ball down, then get back behind it, and walk up and just let it go. There was no hesitation. And I knew 4 or 5 feet from the hole that it was in the hole, and I turned around and faced the people to the left across the water and raised my hand. I never even saw the ball go in, but I knew where it was going.
Wow, that is spectacular. You mentioned Ronnie, and of course Dave Jr., your sons, who you now work with. How much fun is that to have the teaching of the short game, and particularly putting, become such a family affair, and to get to work with your two adult sons?
Well, it's been really special. And when I wrote the book on putting last year, working with Matt Rudy at Golf Digest, he got that. He was, we're trying to go all different sides of things. At that time, I didn't even know who had taught my dad, who was my only teacher. And I was inducted 2 years ago in the California Hall of Fame. And I asked one of the other kids that my dad taught, himself, who was 3 years older than me, to do the introduction. Well, when we got up there, he started talking about Alex Morrison. And I'm going, oh my gosh, this is who taught my dad. I never asked my dad. I mean, he'd tell me something, I'd do it. But it finds out that Alex Morrison wrote a book in 1940 called Better Golf Without Practice. And he taught Henry Picard, who won the Masters in 38 and the PGA in 39. And he also worked with Stephen Hogan. And so Matt gets me his book, and I'm reading this book 71 years after it's been printed. And the long game in it had dramatically changed, but the short game, it was like my dad was standing there. So something that he taught me in the mid-40s, he met with the putt, basically, had changed. And so now I look at it, and I'm going back, I'm going, what a gift I had. Not only did he teach me correctly how to putt, but he gave me the basis that I never had to seek something else out. And we all know about all the lessons that are available, and I see that a lot in working with amateurs, is the fact that they need so many lessons, they don't understand where they're going. So getting back to your question about Ronnie and David, we just feel that, we're doing stuff my dad taught me, basically almost 70 years ago now. And it's simple and it's easy. And of course, we've got the best players. I mean, so that makes it really easy. I mean, Yanni Singh is not hard to teach at all, and neither is Rory McIlroy. We just started last week with Lexi Thompson. Just all these different people that have come to us that we've had a few that have come and have gone another way for whatever reason. Justin Rose kind of left, and we did talk to, I worked with Michelle Wee right before the Solheim Cup there at Rich Harvest Farms, and then after that she went to, I think, Dave Feld and Linkbetter. But you lose some, and like Westwood was a disappointment last year. We worked with him and just got a couple of days and never called back. And I watch these guys, you're going, our gals, you can help them, and to be able to do that with the boys is just an absolute hoop. We don't think it's hard, but it is not a method, John, as you well know.
Right.
That's one thing. If I get to a teacher and he tells me, okay, everybody's going to putt this way, this is the new secret to putting, I just laugh when I go the other way. It doesn't make sense. For instance, if you put my putter on a laser 10 feet, my center of my putter, which I think is lying dead straight, is lying at least 3 inches left of the hole.
Wow.
So if somebody had a computer when I was young and told me, son, that you could be a really good putter, but you got to fix that face because you're to the left, you can tell, you know, I'd have been another kind of business doing something else, you know, because everybody's different, and that's the fun we're having, the three of us are having, just kind of looking at you and how do we make you comfortable? And we just happen to have a knack to make them a lot more comfortable in a huge hurry.
Well, I tell you, one of your students whose putting has improved pretty dramatically this year is that left-handed fella who did the putter belly putter experiment last year, and thank God is back to the normal length putter. You mentioned the easy guys to work with. Let's talk about Phil for a minute. Have you ever met anybody more inquisical than Phil when it comes to instruction?
He is unbelievable. He is the reason, actually, why we're having the success. Because, you know, the interesting thing is he never tried to say, okay, you're helping me, so you can't help anybody else. The neat part of what he's done is he's given me free rein to just, you know, like he said to Adam Scott, you've got to help Adam Scott. He's got one of the worst strokes he's ever seen. And it blew him away when I helped Adam Scott for maybe, Ronnie was with me, we helped him at Charlotte, and then Junior helped him the next week at the Players' Championship for either 1 or 2 days, and he goes on, he wins the very next week. And Phil was just flabbergasted. Well, Phil's funny because Phil's smarter than heck, and he's got all the answers. It's like when Junior and I worked with him the very first time before he went on to win the Players the next week, we're standing there, and we're really proud of ourselves after the first day, and we're going to open this on Thursday, and we're going to work the Friday before he leaves. And we get up there Friday morning, and he's still draining every single putt he looks at, and we're all excited. Little do we know that he's been at Callaway since about, I don't know, 6 o'clock in the morning, having a new putter made with more loft on it. I couldn't tell. It looked just like it. So he is fantastic, and it's neat this year. It was funny because a lot of times announcers will give me credit, and in Phil's case, I saw him at Palm Springs this year. I think I just watched him. He says, you know, we're going to do our same thing. He said, but I'm probably not going to need you because I really got it. I go, that's perfect. And I attribute more of his putting success this year to his Julie Ellion, who's been talking with him from a psychological point of view, because he's finally believing that he can do it. And it kind of, you know, I worked with him probably this year, maybe a total of 20 minutes.
Oh, really?
No. It's not like I'm doing anything. That's like I didn't do anything for the Masters. In fact, I walked out of the Masters, and on the third hole, I finally, because he was playing a practice round, I knew what time he's playing. So, you know, I'm entitled to play as a past champion. I know Guy Berger played 9 holes. I know Jerry Pate played some, but I didn't bring my woods. I was going to play the par 3, but I certainly wasn't going to bring my woods and get sucked out to going out there. Like Guy Berger said, he played seven par fives and 2 par 4s, as he put it. I walked out inside the ropes and walked with Phil on number 3, watched him tee off on 3, and probably thought he'd driven it in the left trap. Of course, he's driven it pin high, you know, 35 yards from the green. So, you know, you can't caddy for somebody like that because you can't see where the ball lands. So, no, I haven't done a thing, but he is in such a great place because he believes he can do it. And that, you know, that gets back to like Tiger. I mean, everybody, you know, we were banging on Tiger before, you know, until Honda, and he shot the 62 and everything. But I think he finally showed some spurts of where he wasn't thinking about everything. He's just letting it go. I think at some point, you've got to believe that in Phil's case, you win 4 majors and 40-some tournaments. You got to know how to do it. Same with Tiger, with 70 wins and, you know, 14 majors. I don't think there's a whole lot more he needs to learn.
Well, there is the other end of that spectrum, and we're talking about the reigning U.S. Open champion in Rory McIlroy, who you've worked with quite a bit. That is the other end of the spectrum because he's such a young talent. How much different is it working with him?
He's probably the easiest I've worked with. I mean, his caddy, JP, called me right after the Masters and wanted to work, and so we set up to see ourselves down in Charlotte 3 weeks later. I had Ronnie with me at that time, and we went into the lunch room there, sat down, talked about 20. He told me he wasn't going to want to practice, and I said, fine. And so we got talking. He just asked me some questions, and I told him. I said, I thought, number one, I thought his main issue was pace of play. I said, I thought he'd gotten a really bad pairing playing with Cabrera, because Cabrera is the world's nicest guy, but he's just as fast as McIlroy. So I said, I'm watching you hit the shots, normal speed, rip off, and then you're standing there waiting for 8 to 10 minutes to hit your next shot. You know, because you're the last group off, and everybody else is going obviously a lot slower than what you are. And I told him that, and we talked for 20 minutes, and I'm discussing a little bit about what I saw with his putting. He's one of the few that instinctively doesn't take a practice stroke, and if anything, he's the opposite of most people. He plays too fast. Almost 99 out of 100 go too slow, and in fact, when they get under pressure, they slow down even more, and then it gets worse. So I was ecstatic. So I said, do you mind if you go out and watch your putt? And he goes, no, that's fine. And JP just rolls his eyes. So he goes, gets the bag, we go out, and Ronnie and I, within about 20 minutes, told him exactly what I wanted. I wanted the left hand to be his. I asked him what his direction aim was. He said left. And I said, okay, I want you to go through. But then why would you come up? Why wouldn't you just go down, keep it low, go through? And I worked with him on his pace of walking up to the ball. And then I asked him, because I'd seen some stuff from the chip shots. And, of course, Quail Hollow, the chipping area, is about 450 yards away. And I didn't think he'd want to do it, but he goes, oh, yeah, let's go do that. So we walk all the way around the end of the range. That didn't take 10 minutes. I mean, I turned his feet a little bit, tried to put a little more weight on his left foot. Again, pace, and how he got in to hit the shot. And we went back, and that was it. So I see him at Wentworth a month later in London, playing their big one over there, the BMW. That did not take, I'm going to say it took 7 or 8 minutes. And then we see each other a month later at the U.S. Open, at Congressional, obviously, where I won the PGA. And I think one of the neatest things I ever saw, I'm in the booth up above, the 10th green, seeing 10 and 18 up above it. And Rory, the last day, hits that shot on 10, which is really a tough shot over the lake. And he hits it about 4 inches, 5 inches, I guess. It came back down off the hill right beside the hole. And he waited, and he put it in. And he went over the side of the green. And then everybody, of course, he's in the last group, so everybody goes toward the 11th tee, and I'm thinking that's the last I saw him. He's gone about 2 minutes. In fact, he comes up on the 10th green. Mm-hmm. As we all know, the 11th hole with the water on the right, that would not be my favorite place to stand and look out there for 10 minutes. He came back up on the 10th green, and he just looked around, and he had his putter, and he made a few practice strokes, practiced a couple times with just his left hand. And had no idea I was watching him up in the tower, but he spent probably 6 or 7 minutes. Then he walked over to the 11th tee, and I thought, this kid really learned well. You know, he had it down. You know, and it was fun to see. He's extremely easy to teach.
That's fantastic. You know, I think that he's obviously gained tremendous fame, but I think what we've all been impressed by is the way that he conducts himself every single week. And obviously, you're sharing a small part of that as well.
Well, it's me, John. I mean, I think his, if you tape what Tiger had to say after last year's Masters versus what Rory had to say after he shot the 80, and you know, you don't get that many chance to win majors when you really seriously blow it with that big of a lead. I thought it was one of the most adult comments and stuff. It was just brilliant. I think for you guys in your business and stuff, trying to convey what we think and what we feel and what we see, he's a godsend. I mean, he's very open to answering your questions. He's going to tell you how he feels, and he's got a bright future ahead of him.
He certainly does. You have a pretty extensive schedule. You do a tremendous amount for charity. You do outings just about every single week. Are you ever going to slow down? Are you thinking, you know, this is a long time you've spent on the road now?
Yeah, but John, do you realize how many people don't know how to putt? I mean, I've got a gold mine here. I mean, everybody, they're working to get the perfect swing. They see McIlroy, which I was I was practicing to go for my debut in the par three contest of the Masters. Now trying to find a friendly face, so I'm going all down by where Rory's practicing, because Rory didn't play the par three. He's going to go out and play the backside. And I was trying to get him to tell me that he wanted me to walk the backside with him, because that would have gotten me out of play of the par three. And as it turned, I mean, it was hilarious. I mean, it's just to stand there and listen to these guys, it's a hoot. And I think it makes me feel young. My dad, God bless him. I mean, he retired, and within 3 years he died. And I don't think retirement is ever going to be in my offing. I mean, I know Dad's up there looking down. And speaking of the teaching, I know he's really proud, because I'm finally doing something that's important in my life. When we win tournaments, we think we get really smart, and we feel that, you know, we think we get smarter, obviously, the more we win. And yet, to pass on this knowledge, and now, like you mentioned, to do it with David and Ronnie, no, I'm not going to quit. I mean, Kathy, you know, gets after me a bit, because I do like to keep going. But it's been, you know, it's only been 48 years, so I'm sure I got a few more years to do some stuff like this.
You know what? You just answered the question from the beginning of this interview. The why me? When it was told to you that you'd won the 2012 PGA Distinguished Service Award, that's the answer right there. You just answered your own question, Mr. Stockton.
Oh, thanks. That was a really good interview until that, John.
Dave, I can't thank you enough. When will we see you out? Will you be in Charlotte or in Jacksonville?
Yes, I'm going to be in Charlotte. I think David's going to go to Tuesday and Wednesday. Bunch of lessons he's booked up. I think he's going to be in Charlotte on Tuesday and Wednesday. I mean, the players Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm gonna be at Charlotte, and then on Thursday night I'm going down to Houston. Hollis Kavner's got one of the old folks divisions. They call it the Legends Division, where we get slotted in between the really young good players on the Champions Tour. So I'm gonna play there on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then come back home.
Well, fantastic. We look forward to seeing you. This has been an absolute pleasure. I can't thank you enough for your time.
I appreciate it. But that next time, just realize Junior is not a junior, okay? And so it really ticks me off. It may be automatically a senior. And I, on purpose, Kathy and I gave him a different middle name. But he's trying to honor me. And so it just got me to be old in a hurry, that's all.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story. I've known him for more than 20 years now. When I first played a practice round with him, it was the mini tour days before we even had our names on our bags, and everybody just called him Junior. I didn't even know his name for the first 2 weeks I knew him.
Well, you must have not gone to the karaoke stuff for
him. Dave Stockton, you're an absolute gem. The game is better for having you in it. I can't thank you enough for your time. Say hi to Dave and Ronnie and all your grandkids, they're spectacular. And just so you know, a long time ago, I arranged for my son Jack to marry Serena.
Oh.
Yeah, they're the exact same age.
There you go. Well, I'll look for it. Anytime I enjoy listening to your show. I listen to a lot of it when I was down in Augusta and everything. It's fun listening to your take on everything, which is right on. So anytime I can be on your show, just give me a call, okay?